Rump steak. Purged aubergine.
Yes.
Egg. Frittata. Ah, trick question. That's an asthmatic rattlesnake. Okay. Vinyl.
What's cooking on 95 BFM?
Come in, Samuel Flynn Scott from the Phoenix Foundation. Are you there?
I am here, and I am cooking.
Perfect. This technology is working.
Now, you're down in Wellington.
There's so much technology going on right now. I'm on Bluetooth headphones using a new sort of conversation app that I didn't even know existed, even in this age.
Clean feed.
Of many, many.
It's been
communication
pretty good for
us. Apps.
We've been doing our Friday live performances sort of from afar, and so long as the musician has sort of an interface and a nice microphone, you're pretty much sorted. It's pleasant. It's a good time.
Mm. Well, it's very good. Well, I'm glad that. Where are you? Are you guys broadcasting from your homes, or are you allowed to go into the studio?
We're
in the studio.
Yeah, thanks to the news component of BFM.
Well, I like to think that we're a pretty essential job, actually.
Yeah.
Just don't count yourself out like that, mate. You know?
We get the essential services sort of permit or tick or pass to come in and do it.
We actually did a long distance with your mate, Luke Buddha.
Mm.
That was a great one.
Yep.
Mm.
I don't approve of him doing any press.
He's good with technology, though. I'll tell you what, he got the technology all sorted.
Oh, it sounded fantastic, Mitch. Yeah.
The tech. Teched it up.
Oh, was he He was performing from his little studio, The Hellhole, was he?
Is that what it's called? I don't think he gave it
yeah,
that.
That's his.
The Hellhole.
He just posted about it on his Instagram today. So if anyone out there would like to follow someone else, I suggest Luke Buddha. Something or other on Instagram. You can find out all about the Hellhole.
Bubbling away in the Hellhole. Well, he's doing good work there.
Yep.
Anyway, that's my recommendation.
Yep. Yeah, those covers. He did some really good covers during lockdown.
I think he played a Beck cover for us, maybe. My memory's a bit foggy, but
ever since the
something
incident.
Along those lines.
What?
Mm. Was it the Beck song, Something Along Those Lines?
Yeah, I think so. I'm 100% sure, actually.
It was one of the good ones.
Now, Samuel Flynn Scott, we've actually got you on the line tonight for a guest selection. And
yes.
You've chosen some songs for us. What is your sort of line of thought with the songs you've picked this evening?
Well, one of them I picked because I was a little bit involved in it, and I want people to hear it, because I'm obsessed with the mysterious and enigmatic Caroline Bay, who sings on the track, and the other ones I chose because they're the things that make me feel really relaxed, and at the moment I just want to listen to music that makes me feel relaxed, which can be different things. The other day, a few days ago, I listened to Dead Kennedys, and I found that very relaxing in that moment, and I read this thing that apparently heavy metal fans some of the happiest people in the world, and it's the intensity of the music that actually allows them to process a lot of internal anger.
Rad.
And actually, you know, metal
exercise
kids
the
aren't
demons.
Angry people. They're actually less angry than other people who are listening to Kenny G.
I found
and
that
the anger
actually.
Is welling up inside them from all of the smooth music.
I found that most people that I know that are into metal are generally pretty nice people, actually.
It rings true for me too. Mm. And I'm not really a metal. I wasn't a heavy metal band as a teenager, but I'm not really a metal guy so much.
You can hang. Hang in the circles enough to know.
I can hang. I can say something like,
"Ride the lightning."
You know, I love the geese.
This rocks.
I'd say something like Slayer. Really stand above the other thrash metal bands because of that
everyone nods
enigmatic yep. groove of Dave Lombardo.
Strong. That's a fair comment.
That's the only thing I know about thrash. It's my one thrash comment. So don't at me, Megadeth fans.
Slayer rules. Slayer rules it. Don't worry about it. That's pretty
Slayer
much.
Are good, actually. I do quite like Slayer. I like Slayer and I don't like Metallica. There you go.
Early
that's
Metallica. Check out Ride the Lightning, man. That's
80s Metallica.
That's a good record.
It's awesome.
I have checked it out.
Check it out again. I have another little. So let's get a track under our belt, I reckon, and then we can come back.
Yeah, okay.
Should we listen to
this track, Color My Friend?
Yep. Is this Zamrock? It looks like Zamrock from here.
I don't know what Zamrock is. I think it probably just came up in like one of those Discovery playlist things. Mm-hmm. How everyone's kind of listening to the same songs now because of Discovery playlists. Like everyone listens to that song, Swinging Party, but no one was listening to The Replacements. A few years ago, other than old people. Hmm. But now everyone listens to that song, Swinging Party, because it's in every Discovery playlist.
It's funny how a certain technology can homogenize everybody's...
The listening habits of everyone. Thanks, Spotify.
Yeah, even like underground, unique and interesting things are being homogenized.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I keep hearing things that I'm like, this is totally rad, and I'm not going to deny the awesomeness of the track because of that, because it's being dealt to me by an algorithm. Mm.
It's kind of rad that it gets another little hurrah as well with a decent amount of ears on it.
Yeah, for sure.
Should we get it then? Carla, my friend, KH. Let's do. Yeah? I'm pressing the button,
let's
guys.
Let's do it.
You're happy to hold the line and we'll be back after this.
I'll hold the line.
Like a selling or something? I'm a nuns.
Isn't it nice? I just don't understand what's going on in that track, because it just sounds like I don't know. I don't know where it's from. I've been avoiding Googling it because...
I'm going to say Zambia. I'm pretty sure that's in the Zamrock. I remember the name. It's definitely a Zamrock tunnel. That, like, sort of fuzz guitar, it gets really heavy, some of that stuff, and it's almost like a Sabbath record and a Hendrix record sort of washed up in Africa, and they just started jamming it. It's a real
weird. Well, to me, that one just sounds so Velvet Underground, but from this completely African perspective, and... Yeah, I just find it like mysterious and beautiful, and just, and the bass playing is really, really weird and goes totally out of tune. And
it's down there, though. It's down there, you know.
Oh, it's great. It's doing the right things in a really weird way.
Now, Samuel Flynn Scott from the Phoenix Foundation. You're down in Wellington at the moment, but are you calling Auckland home?
No, I was calling Auckland home for 2.5 years, but that period in my life is over.
Okay.
I had to say goodbye to the 09.
Something we said, or what?
It was, actually.
Was it us?
I was very offended. No. I came up there so my wife could study, and she studied, and that's done. Now we're back in Wellington, where we belong. Because people keep saying, go back home, you know. Don't like your stupid fat face around here.
That Wellington beard of yours.
Yeah. Oh, man, the beard thing, like, I've been thinking about this. This is a total segue, but, like, everyone has a beard now, right? We might even be getting into a post-beard era.
Yeah. Are you in beard jail a little bit?
Well, I just feel like there was a period where people would be like, it's so weird you've got a beard.
Weird, and that was
maybe 15 years ago. People would just be like, so crazy, this band with beards. What a crazy fashion statement.
Then craft beer happened.
It seems so inefficient.
Yeah, and now people have these huge beards that are so shaped. And, you know, I just feel like they're spending money on their beards. And
it's a thing.
Whereas, I just want to take beards back to the authentic lazy people and stop having people who put effort into their appearance culturally appropriating the lazy man's...
The slob beard?
Ah, beard's attractive.
Face fluff.
Do some people find beards totally irresistible? That's what we need to be asking ourselves.
I think if you don't have a beard, then you need to grow one, and then you will find out.
Just grab yourself a mirror and bunker down.
I'm kind of fairly sparse. I don't grow a great beard or moustache.
Don't look at me when you're talking about beards and wondering whether or not you like beards, John.
You could sellotape a cat to your face.
I'd consider that. As long as it wouldn't scratch me.
That would have to be a good cat. That's a good cat, eh? Give it a little snack.
Yep.
Now,
if you had those treats, just keep it happy.
Fuck yeah.
Samuel Flynn Scott from the Phoenix Foundation.
Well prefaced, John.
What is the next song that you've selected for us to listen to this evening?
Oh, there's Laraji on there, eh? Let's listen to the Laraji, but we don't need to listen to the whole thing.
Great name. It's very beardy.
Let's give it 3 minutes, because this is something that I really, really deeply, deeply love, but I don't know if everyone does, and it's a very, very long track, and it just...
The one I've got in here is 3 minutes
long. We've got a 3-minute 28 version.
Okay. Well, that's great, because the version that I've been listening to is about 9 minutes, and it's just, if you imagine the 3-minute one happening again and again and again, you'll get sort of an impression of it. Okay.
Does this sound about right to you? Samuel Flynn Scott?
It's not
is
the
this
track.
Is this the wrong song? What's this song?
Total other shit.
This is Laraji, Two Shall Pass. Is that the right song? No?
I don't know, it sounds completely different, but
I don't hate it. Let's see where it goes.
I'm just feeling totally baffled by this now.
I'm scared and a little bit cold.
Do you know what? I did have a look at this earlier, and it was...
No, it's called All of a Sudden.
We've got the wrong song in then, I think.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah, yeah.
Hang on.
Don't worry about it. Let's go to the next song. Laraji's real... weird. Laraji's real great, if that's your cup of tea. I mean, I just think I find it really, really relaxing thing. I just find it really relaxing listening to music that I don't understand at all. I don't know where it's come from, and I don't know why it exists, and I just can really just
well, that was that song exactly. I mean, nobody had any idea what that
no
song
one understood
was.
Understood what was happening.
Yeah, it's just this little piano motif.
Now, you have got a brand new album in the can. A couple of songs
we
released.
Do.
Nadia Reid yep. on the track. Bits and pieces recorded at Roundhead Studios. What was the experience like using Roundhead? Have you been in there before and done stuff?
Yeah, we recorded some of Fandango there, and I was in the choir for Neil Finn's Out of Silence album, and me and Luke went up and did that thing with Flight of the Conchords, the Feel Inside thing. I think I've done about 10 things there, and I love it. It's great. It's amazing. We actually only recorded drums for 2 songs at Roundhead while I was working on Neil Finn's album, and he had a cold. This was in the days before COVID, when having a cold was just fine. And so he just took the night off, and Chris O'Connor came in, and we did some drums, which is great because the Brick Room there really is one of the great drum rooms.
Is the Brick Room
the world,
downstairs one? Or the
yeah, the downstairs one.
Okay.
The downstairs one. Both incredible studios, but I love the downstairs one for drums. But most of this album was recorded in our bedrooms and home studios, to be honest. But Hounds of Hell, which is the new single, where did we record that? I think we recorded the drums at Dave Dobbins' studio at his garage in his house.
I presume it's not like an actual car park with a roller door. It's like you're calling
no,
it a garage, but
it's a cool little spot. Yeah, lots of hip hop acts kind of work there, because maybe through Lorraine, his manager or something, and
a
bunch of New Zealand kind of Pacific albums have been recorded there. Like,
What general area does Dave Dobbin live in? Is he an Aucklander?
He's an Aucklander, yeah.
Never okay. thought about yep. where Dave Dobbin lives. Hey, that's weird.
Central Auckland.
Central. Parnell?
Like Mount Eden, like the top of Mount Eden, like in the crater.
And we're not giving any more clues away.
Okay. He's an Aucklander. Okay.
He's an Aucklander.
Down by the waterfront, just in case he wins the cup again. He's got to be ready. He lives in a yacht parked in a little marina.
Like,
he's got a small law practice on the side. I know exactly what's going on.
You'd think from his songs and his demeanor and everything that he'd be like super nice dude, and he is.
Damn it!
Oh, I thought we were going to get a juicy take.
No, he's just
Mike
he's
Chun.
Just,
however,
he's a sweetheart.
Oh,
no, actually, we spoke to we covered.
I haven't met Mike Chun, so I can't.
I think he's totally awesome as well. God damn it!
Right,
there's a reason these people are so great. They're great.
Yeah,
we
he
covered.
So you shouldn't change his second name to Hunt.
That's fair.
We covered the Vodafone New Zealand Music Awards last year.
Are we taking phone calls?
And
someone's calling us.
Spoke to Dave Dobbin at the Music Awards, and he was fantastic.
He was great.
Yeah.
Oh, he's great.
He did kind of look at his manager like, should I talk to these people? And there was a brief moment where I feel like it could have gone the other way, but he was great.
Yeah. So Hounds of Hell, we did. Nadia came and recorded her vocals at mm-hmm. Dave's as well. And yeah, we did stuff everywhere, but that was kind of one of the special spots for me, was going and recording at Dave's.
Vin Graylin, I've just had a text here. He lives in Graylin. Everyone figured
it
out. We've figured it out. We've zeroed in on where he is there, and with that, I'm okay with that. That's fine with me.
Okay, cool.
Just hang out in there.
Don't go knocking on his door, okay? Leave him alone. Mm. He's a nice man. I can't remember what I was saying. Oh, but he's great, because when you're like, you know, when you're recording there, he's generally there, and he's just really supportive. Like, you just do something and you walk out of the room, and Dave Dobbin's there kind of checking his emails in his little office next to the studio, and he's like, that was amazing, man, you're a genius. And it's like, thanks, Dave Dobbin.
Has he got like a little speaker coming from
I'm
the
sure
studio?
He says that to everybody all the time. Well, no, it's like, you know, because you can there's speakers in the studio,
right,
and there's a door, you know,
okay,
you can hear
okay.
things.
Yeah, cool.
Would you feel nervous if Dave Dobbin was looking at you while you were recording?
Not really. I don't think he'd make me nervous.
Okay.
He just makes me happy.
That's great. Now, Samuel Flynn Scott from the Phoenix Foundation, we've got a song queued up by Robert Wyatt, The Age of Self. This is actually in the BFM system, and it hasn't been played before. What can you tell us about this song?
Oh, I love it. I mean, the lyrics are great because he's just basically saying humans are selfish and stupid, and capitalism has ruined the world, and we all just need to stop focusing on our own shit and just be part of a community or something. I always feel like Robert Wyatt's kind of saying something that's relatively commie and lefty and all about the unions and stuff. And he's just also just an incredibly creative musician. Huge influence on Bjork and Radiohead and lots of people. And just in terms of the fact that he just always seems to try and do something different from album to album. And yeah, I love this one. It's like a funky little weird bedroom recording, which is kind of his thing.
Ooh. Sounds nice.
They say the working class is dead, we're all consumers now. They say that we have moved ahead, we're all just people now. There's people doing frightfully well, there's others on the shelf. But never mind the second kind, this is the age. And it seems to me if we forget our roots and where we stand, the movement will disintegrate like castles built on sand.
I hope someone was cruising over the Harbour Bridge during that track. That was Robert Wyatt. Sam, are you there?
Come in, Samuel Flynn Scott. Let's just have a look at our...
He's disappeared.
It's
heartbreaking.
Well, should we play this COVID collab and we'll dial him back in?
That seems fair. Bit of a back-to-backer. We'll get Samuel Flynn Scott back on the line very shortly.
Are we back on? Can you hear me?
Oh, shit, yeah. Welcome.
Oh, geez, something happened.
Hey, we've just started this COVID collab track. It's got a 30-second peel in, so if there's anything we need to know from you about this track, let us know.
Well, it's just this was a project of people sending things around to each other during the first stages of level 4, and yeah, it was a really cool, fun project. I just did a bit of sort of engineering and stuff on this, but it's got Caroline Bay, Thomas Watson, who used to be in Head Like a Hole and Cassette, Bachelorette, and Ben from Spider Kassar, who's the whole thing was his project. So it's really great. It's out on vinyl, and there's a lot of this. Those are just the people on this track. So there's people on there's different people on each track, and it's, yeah, check it out. It's great.
Brilliant. I'll give it some gas. What a tune.
That's cool, huh?
That's fantastic, man. That was really good. COVID collab. It looks like we've had Counting Down the Days on the playlist. But Glass Mountain, which was that track, didn't quite get in there, which is a shame.
Playlist it, man. Playlist it now.
Yeah. We don't have the extreme power like that. It's probably for the best.
Oh, man.
Just be full of Fu Manchu, mate. It'll be terrible, actually, if we did that. But that was really good, really, really good. COVID collab. So is there a whole record? Obviously, it's on vinyl. Was it Holiday Records pressing that, or?
I believe it was Holiday Records pressing that.
Awesome. Oh, I have to check that out, man. Yes. That's great. Awesome.
Now, Samuel Flynn Scott of the Phoenix Foundation, do you like movies?
Do I like movies?
Yes.
Yes, I do like movies.
Have you just recently got into the movie soundtrack game?
No, not recently. I've been doing it for a really long time.
Damn it.
One out of two. It's not bad.
Well, what about this most recent movie soundtrack you've just done?
Was that This Town?
This Town.
A long roundabout way to get to that, John.
We have just... And that's on Bandcamp at the moment, but it's going to be on all streaming platforms on Friday, I believe. Yeah, it's really interesting. It sounds like a compilation. So that's me and Luke and Conrad, who we've done, you know, the soundtracks to Boy, Hunt for the Wilder People, Eagle vs. Shark. Well, those are the Taika ones, but then also TV shows like Skylanders and The Golf. And lots of other things. I've probably insulted people by forgetting their thumbs. We've done lots of soundtrack stuff.
Powerful, powerful back
through the years.
What's it like to do a soundtrack to something?
It's like you have to kind of suspend your own sense of what music is in a way, and channel what is needed for the film, and that's hard and also quite freeing.
Is an instance you don't really have to worry about song structure as much as you do just emotion in the particular moment. You don't really need to like have like parts ready in like such a format. Is that must be
well? Yeah, some things can be so simple and that's the best thing for the scene. Yeah, you can play one note and that can be the right thing. But a lot of stuff on this town that I found really fun was we had to do. Because it was a pretty low budget film. I think it's been the number one film in New Zealand for a couple of weeks now, which is great. Definitely, they made that on a shoestring budget, and so they didn't have a lot of money for just licensing Dragon or whatever to have in the scenes in the in the rural pub or whatever. So we had to
pseudo Dragon
make a bit of country music and a bit of 70s rock, and then. Another scene, there was like a this younger woman in her bedroom with all her unicorns and ponies around her, and she had to have some music on that, like in our minds, had to sort of sound like Boys to Men or something like that. So that's kind of, we kind of made some fake Boys to Men, and we made music for a stripper scene. We made a very sexy song for the stripper scene that was too sexy for the world. And in fact, I sung on it. And sung the sexiest lyrics I've ever sung. And I've been told by the other members of the group that we are never allowed to release that song and no one's ever allowed to hear it. So,
apart from that danger, is there also a danger of just wanting to start heaps of random new bands in different genres?
We're taking the Phoenix Foundation in this direction. Yeah. I'm sorry, guys. This is where we're headed.
Spaghetti Western fucking rules, man. That's what we're doing now. Okay.
Well, I think the reason we got into it is because I think the Phoenix Foundation has always kind of sounded like a bunch of different bands in a way. And we were, especially when we were making our second album, we were super influenced by soundtrack stuff. Like, sorry, Ralph, I'm just doing an interview. So we were, listening to, what are they called? The band that does all the 70s horror films, Italian horror films.
Goblin.
I can't remember. My son.
Is it Goblin?
Goblin. That's the one. We were listening to. Yeah, it was Goblin. That's good. So, like that Goblin track, Tenebra, like that track in particular, influenced about five Phoenix Foundation songs. And then, Sergio Leone and whatever. We were just listening to soundtrack stuff, and that kind of became part of how we built albums, was kind of like thinking about them in terms of soundtracks and cinema. Medic appeal and that sort of thing, and Taika heard that record and heard the instrumentals on it and went, do you guys want to come and make the music for my first, well actually he said, can I use these songs in my feature that I'm making, Eagle versus Shark?
That's wild.
And I said, no, you can't, you can hire us to make original music.
Yeah,
we will be your soundtrack composers.
Oh, good.
And
cool.
You can license those tracks. Yeah. And now he's making, Star Wars and Thor, and we're
hoping to get on the Star Wars soundtrack.
Not very likely, but that's okay. I don't hold a grudge on that stuff, because he really, he sorted us out. He gave us this career path, and it's been amazing getting to work on his films, and now, getting to work on other films like This Town, which. Is just, I think it's really kind of connecting with people at the moment in New Zealand, which is cool.
Yeah, that is rad. Well done.
Now, we've queued up some Phoebe Bridges. What can you tell us about this song?
I kind of chose this because I've been listening to it a lot, and I thought all of my other choices were so music nerdy. They were so oh yes, I listened to Laraji and Robert Wyatt. And
here's this track from Africa.
Yeah, so I thought I'd better go with something that was more commercial than what BFM would normally play. That was my way of balancing the force.
Okay.
And I've been really liking her new album. It's great. And again, I do. I just listen to this song over and over again because I find it very, very relaxing. Mm. And I just really want to feel momentarily relaxed in amongst the bombardment of anxiety. And actually, the new Phoenix album, which is called Friendship, was going to be called Anxiety because I think modern life makes us feel so anxious. And that was kind of the first theme of the record, was trying to make everything about anxiety, but that kind of morphed into it being more about making connections with people, which feels better, I think. And yeah.
Garden song.
Let's hit this and then we'll come back, wrap up this interview if you don't mind holding the line for like another 3 minutes.
No, that's right. I'll just go back to cooking dinner.
Is that pumpkin soup still on the stove?
Yep, we've fed a couple of kids now.
Making some more cheese toasties.
Yep.
Someday I'm gonna live in your house up on the hill. And when your skinhead neighbor goes missing, I'll plant a garden in the yard. Then they're gluing roses on a flatbed. You should see it. I mean thousands. I grew up here till it all went up in flames, except the notches in the door frame. I don't know when you got taller. See our reflection in the water off a bridge at the Huntington. I hopped the fence when I was 17. Then I knew what I wanted. And when I grow up, I'm gonna look up from my phone and see my life. And it's gonna be just like my recurring dream. I'm at the movies, I don't remember what I'm seeing. The screen turns into a tidal wave. Then it's a dorm room like a hedge maze. And when I find you, you touch my leg and I insist, but I wake up before we do it. I don't know how, but I'm taller. It must be something in the water. Everything's growing in our garden. Have to know that it's haunted. The doctor put her hands over my liver. She told me my resentment's getting smaller. No, I'm not afraid of hard work. I get everything I want.
Are you back in the room?
I just want to find out what plugin they used for that funny electric guitar pattern going in the background, and I want to steal that idea. Yeah, like some sort of, probably some Ableton thing.
Bastards.
I don't know how to use Ableton.
There's some pedals that'll do that sort of arpeggiation thing.
Right, some $500 bougie pedal.
I actually just got one recently. I'm waiting for it to come in the post from Alexander Pedals. It's a Super Radical DX delay. It was $150. It was a pretty good price, but it has an arpeggiator and sort of pitching as well, which looked quite interesting. It just keeps pitching up on itself into higher frequencies. Sounds, and like musically as well, like in a, you know, fifths and stuff like that, if you want.
Yeah.
It's cool, man. I'm excited about getting that pedal, everyone. I just thought I'd get that off my chest.
I think I could start talking to you about pedals now, and it would be a real disaster for the listeners.
Now, Samuel Flynn Scott, we're going to wrap things up. We've got Tranquility featuring Holly Fulbrook queued up in the system. We should just go out saying, you've got a new album on the way, and you've got a show at the Power Station. Fingers crossed we get down to level one in the near future. Which I
would say it's so far in the future that surely we will be okay. But you know, if not the wonderful people at Banished Music have been really good about reorganizing tours and supporting the audience and supporting the artists and making things happen this year. And Ruben's been doing an amazing job of that. So I'm sure it will all work out one way or another. But yeah, it would be great for that show to happen, and I believe it will, and we will have a good time.
Have you played the Power Station in the last while?
Not for ages, and it always, every time we play there, it feels like, you know, you're really playing a proper big rock show.
It's solid. It's a nuggety, nuggety spot.
It's number one in Auckland, really.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the last thing I saw there was the Breeders, maybe.
Oh, yeah, I went to that show. It was great.
Really good.
Mm. It's good, good. And the album, in a nutshell, if you're going to summarise what people can expect from the next Phoenix Foundation album?
I'd say it's pretty good songs, good lyrics, and that's the focus of it, I think.
How many more collabs is there? Because you've got a couple right off the bat.
Yeah, there's a couple more things on there. The New Zealand Symphony Orchestra and the composers that we worked with in that regard. So Claire Cowan, who she's really amazing, and Hamish Oliver, who he works in, I think, video games mostly, and he did a great arrangement for the song Transit of Venus.
Awesome.
And we've got Motta on there, Anita Clark, Tom Watson, who was on that COVID collabs Caroline Bay track before. Who else is on there? Lots of people. Jeff Henderson, who's a really great avant-garde jazz musician.
From the Audio Foundation.
He's on Tranquility.
Yeah.
He's on Tranquility. So he's playing both me and him are both playing clarinet on this track. Mostly him. But it was originally me pretending to be him, and then now it's him pretending to be me pretending to be him.
That's art.
Perfect.
Yeah. It's a nice process.
Sweet. We've got Tranquility queued up here with Holly at Fulbrook. Tiny Ruins.
Yeah, amazing working with her. She is a really exceptional singer and a very easy collaborator. Like, the music just flows out of her. I'm just always super impressed by everything she does.
She's a fantastic great guitar player as well. We've had her in studio. And,
her guitar playing blows my mind.
So good. Yeah, really good. Should we get it? Well, is she singing on this track? Any? She play any guitar as well?
No, she's just singing on this track. But, okay. She's doing like sort of textural singing and it's a very simple track, so just a few little colors here and there and a few ideas she had when we were doing it just really elevated it. So yeah.
Brilliant. Hey, we'll let you get to your dinner. Thank you so much for taking the time and chatting about Phoenix Foundation and whatnot, and we look forward to hearing the record and seeing you guys out and about sort of triumphantly when we've all kicked this COVID BS.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Awesome. Thank you, mate.
See you guys.
That was What's Cooking on 95 BFM.